Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and tonight is going to be one of those recipes that I'm going to need your attention on. I'm going to need you, if I were in a school setting, I'd say I need your thinking caps on. All right? Yeah, I need you to think with me a little bit. Some of you, that'll be a new object. Your brain's going to hurt for a while. You're going to wonder why it's hurting, but if you don't use it, you lose it. Amen? All right, 2 Thessalonians. It was too weak to go very far. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse number 6. And I need you to keep your Bibles open. I probably am not going to go the direction you think I am. Now, verse number 6, 2 Thessalonians 3. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if you would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, here, tonight, I'm going to give you the recipe for what I call recipe for being orderly. The recipe for being orderly. The very definition of the word recipe means following a pattern that can be repeatable with the same result. You ladies have recipe books or recipe cards. That means you can pull them out and you can put the same ingredients in the same order that the recipe says, and the thing comes out most of the time exactly the same way. The only time it doesn't is if you try to change some of the ingredients. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. But a recipe is there to follow the directions so that you have the same result over and over. Now, listen to me very carefully. In other words, following the same guidelines over and over again will result in the same product. Now, that means that having order or not being disorderly is vitally important to God. Several times in 2 Thessalonians 3 here, the Bible talks about us not walking disorderly. All right, you'll notice it in several verses, and I'll get there in a moment. But that means this: things aren't in the right order. Brother Hiles used to say, and he would say often, sin is often something good that's done at the wrong time. Sin is often good done at the wrong time. Baptism is not a bad thing. But if you do it before salvation or a condition for salvation, it becomes sinful because it's out of order. God says salvation, baptism, church membership. If you put church membership before salvation and baptism, you're out of order and it becomes sinful. By the way, there's nothing wrong with the physical relationship between a husband and wife, but if you do it before you get married, it's sinful. So it's good done out of order. That's what God's talking about here. God tells us, now watch this, in verse number 6 or 7, that we ought not to walk with those that walk with disorderly. God says, don't walk with those who walk disorderly. Now, he made it very clear. The word disorder, are you ready? This is really hard. It means out of order. It means irregular conduct that infringes upon another person. In other words, you are doing something that's not in your realm or not in your rank, so to speak. It's a military term. I looked it up in the Greek. I've looked it up in the English. I've looked it up every which way I can. The word order and the word disorder are military terms. When you go into the military, if you're going into the army, you go in as a buck private. Can I tell you something? As a private, that means this. You're the bottom rung. Okay? You're below the dirt. Okay? That's boot camp. But you can't expect the general to salute a private. It's not going to happen. And you work your way up in rank, and in the military you find out anybody that has a higher rank than you, you are supposed to salute. Now, once they hit officer realm. Now, that's generally the rule. Here's the problem. Most people, when they're a buck private, decide they want to live like the general and have the respect of the general, and when they don't get it, they whine and complain. They're out of order. They haven't worked their way up the rankings. They haven't worked their way up in leadership to get what they truly desire. Now, in other words, the word order literally means to keep rank or to keep priority. We get out of order when we jump rank. A child telling his parents what to do is out of order. Parents are supposed to tell children what to do. Children are not to tell parents what to do. That's just God's order. Everybody doing okay? Somebody sent me one of these little things. I thought it was hilarious. It says, we don't need Jesus to take control. We need him to pull the car over and take his flip-flop off and beat somebody. I love that. I love that. I love that. I thought it was funny. An employee disgruntled with his boss, trying to tell his boss how to run the business, is somebody that's out of order. The dude flipping burgers at Burger King doesn't have any sense on how to run Burger King. Well, I could run this place better than that. Son, you haven't run a popsicle stand yet. How could you run a whole corporation? You have no idea what's involved with it and the amount of money that's involved with it and everything else. Now, in other words, we get ourselves out of order. God wants us orderly. You don't need to turn there. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. That doesn't mean he put his order in. It means there is a logical progression of steps in which we take to get to where we're supposed to go. God wants our life to go in an orderly fashion. Now listen to this very carefully here. That does not mean we always follow that order. We're sinners. And people around us are sinners. And sometimes that causes disorder. I'm different in many ways. No comments, please. We are not to let the events of life dictate God's will. Amen. Well, if this happens, it must have been God's will. I'm not always sure that's a true statement. God doesn't have control of everything. You can let him have control of your attitude about it. Well, I wanted to get this, and if God wants me to have it, it'll be available. I believe that's true. But that doesn't mean that somebody's not going to wreck it as soon as you get it.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? So there's a logical order in which God wants us to live. Let me give you four statements here, and then we're going to jump right into this. And I got to hurry. Number one, not walking with those disorderly. So the first ingredient, not walking with those disorderly. Number two, don't live off of others, live by your own work. Number three, don't be a busybody. That's going to be a fun point. Number four, do not be weary in well-doing. So, not walking with those disorderly. Don't live off of others. Live by your own work. Number three, don't be a busybody. Number four, don't be weary in well-doing. Now, here we go. Number one, we're not to walk with those that walk disorderly. Look at verse number six. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother. That means somebody who's saved. Okay? That you withdraw yourself from every brother who walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Skip down to verse number 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, God says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion. Now watch this. Two words there that I want you to notice. God is not the author. What is an author? That's someone who writes a book, right? Okay, what book did God write? So, God's not the author of confusion. That means you have to be right with this book to be walking orderly. You see, those who walk contrary or irregularly or out of order with the word of God, God says, withdraw from them. Don't walk with them. Abstain from them. Matter of fact, pull away so far that they're ashamed because they're not where they should be. Everybody doing okay? Now, I love you. This is where we're going to separate a little bit, though. That means this. I don't think that you ought to listen to radio preachers who use the wrong Bible. I didn't say it. It's there. If they're not in the right Bible, how can they be walking orderly? They're walking contrary to the Word of God. Well, I like their voice. They sound so suave and debonair. Or as the redneck says, save and deboner. If you're in the wrong Bible, you're not walking orderly. Can I tell you something? Somebody who has wrong doctrine, you ought not walk with them. That means don't read their books. If they believe in salvation some other way, don't read their material. Don't listen to their sermons. If they tell you you have to turn from your sins and quit sinning, or you really didn't get saved, or you got a head knowledge but not a heart knowledge. Now, folks, you ain't got a brain in your heart. We know the Bible says the heart is the seat of emotion. Show me where emotion is involved in salvation. It's not. I'd rather have somebody with a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. At least I know they're going to heaven. Amen. Everybody doing okay? So if somebody has the wrong Bible, withdraw. Somebody has wrong doctrine, withdraw. I'm going to go so far as to say this. This book isn't just a book of doctrine. It's a book of methods. When we go contrary to the methods of the Word of God, we're supposed to withdraw from them. Find me the bouncy ball TV screens in the Bible. Everybody doing okay? Find me the wrong music and the rock music with Jesus' words put to it in the Bible. Matter of fact, I can show you the exact opposite. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Ask the Lord, be filled with the Spirit. Everybody doing okay? Go one step farther. Show me the symphony orchestras. I'm not saying symphony music is wrong, but I've watched what happened to churches who use that stuff and where they end up usually. Those are the churches that stop their bus ministry because they don't want their carpet messed up. They don't want somebody writing on the walls. Well, I wrote on our walls first. Nah, 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 nah. You say you didn't. Yeah, I did. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to withdraw from those with wrong methods. Well, soul winning doesn't work anymore. We're going to try something new. Don't tell God that. I think we ought to obey the Bible.
Amen.
You don't go soul winning because it works. You go soul winning because God commanded you to. When Dad said, take the trash out, you didn't take the trash out because it worked, because he was going to work you over if you didn't. The method was just as important as the message. Well, we've got new avenues of soul winning. This is the 21st century. I'm glad you know what century it is. Come back next week and we'll ask you what month and day it is. Just because it's a different century doesn't change the Word of God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I know missionaries that go to the mission field and all they do is feed hungry people and don't give them the gospel. They're sending people to hell with a full tummy, but they didn't give them the gospel. What good was the full tummy?
Right.
I'm for feeding the hungry, but not at the expense of not giving the gospel.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. Now, your preacher is a little different. I personally go one step farther. I try to protect me, and I try to protect you as our church, and I don't walk with those who walk with those that are disorderly. Let's see here. Brother Juan, come on up here. Brother Josh, I'm going to need your help for just a second. Brother Juan, you're going to be the disorderly one. With a shirt like that, I understand. Wow. Did you get that from Brother Randy? All right. I knew it. Son, you better go to the altar. Now, wait a minute. Here's somebody that's walking disorderly. Brother Josh, go over there by Brother Juan. Now, here, most people will separate from that, believe me. If you come with a tie matching that, we're in trouble, all right? Or a coat. Now, most people will separate from those. I am teasing, oh, by the way. He can blush and you can't tell. Now, wait a minute. Separating from somebody that's walking disorderly isn't that hard. Watch this. But they're walking together. He'll walk with him a while and come this way. No, you stay there. Then he tells me he's been with him. I might throw a little warning out, but then he goes back. And then he comes back around. You say, what do you do? I'll shake his hand. Say, I'm busy. Take care. Have a good day. And I separate. I love both of them. But I'm not going to be there. And if I'm not careful, him walking with him will affect me. So I've drawn my line a little tighter. I don't even walk with those that are disorderly. He may only visit from occasionally. But watch this. How do I know what he doesn't get from there, he brings back here and influences us with something that was disorderly? Thank you, men. You can have a seat. I have preacher friends. I won't call names. They've written books. They've influenced my life. But in later years, they change. I throw their books away. I don't even have them. You say, why? Because I don't know at what point in time they changed. So I throw it all away so it doesn't influence me. Anybody understand that? I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm telling you what I do. You wonder why I'm so dogmatic. You say, preacher, do you have any friends? Yes, I do. I have a lot. I have my wife and I have my dog. Sometimes I have my dog. You see, by the way, that's not my enemy. Even that one's not my enemy. I'll do them no harm. I'm not going after them. I just withdraw from them. I won't go on the attack. There may be preachers come in the area here that I know, but I won't go hear them because I know who they run with. And it doesn't mean that they're bad. I just don't want to be influenced by who they've been with. And I don't know how they've been influenced by it, so I'm just not going to stay around it. I won't be their enemy. But you're not going to have them here either, because I'm not going to invite them. See how that works? It's a good rule. Now, watch this. So, to walk orderly, we must not walk with those who are disorderly. The confusion of disorderliness will cause us sinners to eventually fall to disorderliness ourselves. When you're walking with somebody who's already confused, eventually they'll confuse you. Because you love them so much. That's why some of you give in to your teenage kids and let them do wrong, and it's okay. You've let them walk disorderly, and you want to say, but I love them so much. Yeah, if you love them so much, you'll whack them upside the head. So you're not doing that here. Well, but it doesn't matter. You got to stand true to the principles. I've got to hurry. So, number one, we're not to walk with those who are disorderly. Number two, live by your work and don't live off the work of others. Look at verse number 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Watch this, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, listen to this very carefully. Look at the words again at the end of verse 11. It says, verse 10, I'm sorry, that if any would not work. That means this: they have the opportunity to work, but they refuse to do it. Doesn't say somebody that's unemployed because of the economy. Doesn't say somebody who's been hurt at work and is on disability or whatever. Doesn't say somebody who's having a tough time right now being able to get a job. It says him that would work. Those that could work and those that should work and those who have the ability to work but choose not to work, they should not eat. My kids know this is true. They did their homework or they didn't eat supper. When they were growing up, they had to have the room read up before breakfast, because if they didn't make their bed and have stuff read up, then they weren't going to eat before they went to school, because you got to work before you eat. Well, I'm glad I didn't grow up in your house. Yeah, you are. But I promise you one thing, you'd have learned how to work. You can say whatever you want about my children, but I promise you one thing. All three of them have a great work ethic. They're not afraid of it. You say, why is that? Because if you can work, you're going to work. Notice it says would work. By the way, this is referring to people that have the welfare mentality. Everybody else take care of me. It's everybody's job to take care of me. Parents, teach your children to work. I think children ought to learn how to work. I'm not saying child labor, and I'm not talking about slave driving. But there's nothing with a child learning how to work. But by the way, I think it ought to be age appropriate too. I think it ought to be gender appropriate. You're not going to take a 5-year-old girl out into the woods and make her cut 4 cords of wood with you. Okay, they're not built to do that. Now, I've cut many cords of wood in my life. Amen. My boys have cut many cords of wood in their life. Now, my daughters help stack it after it's already been cut, chopped, and split. But I chopped and split it right where I had to stack it. She didn't have to tote 100-pound logs all over the place. Say why? Nor did my wife. Most of the time, they didn't even help. That's what the boys were there for. Wasn't until they moved out that I got a log splitter. I adopted that philosophy from my dad. I fed 2 log splitters. Why should I get one? God says we should live by our own work. Now, I'm going to apply this in a very real way. I've looked at this. You may choose to disagree with me, but God doesn't. That means this: don't live above your means. When you live above your means, you're living off of somebody else's work. Living above your means is living out of order. Living with excessive credit card debt is living out of order. You're living off of somebody else giving you money that you're paying back with usury. And you're trying to show yourself at a level you really have not yet attained. Okay, God's order is work, pay the bills, then have your wants. Work, pay your bills, have your wants. Man's order is, I'm going to go into debt to get whatever I want. Just because you have another credit limit doesn't mean that you're living within your means. Everybody doing okay? Buying fancy or too expensive of something is that you can't afford is out of order. It's called living above your pay grade or your ability to manage your pay grade. Isn't it amazing? There are some people that live on far less that have far better and an easier time than people that make a lot. In other words, if you could get out of debt, you could have the nicer things. But you got to wait to get them. I'm going to rain on somebody's parade, I'm sure. I think you ought to be careful taking too extravagant of vacations with your children till your kids are out of the house. My wife and I still haven't gone on a cruise yet. Was going to do it, and somebody decided to get married on our 25th anniversary. Going to do it again, another one got married right after our 30th anniversary. You say, why haven't you gone yet, preacher? We probably could have, but we'd have been in debt a long time ago for it. Why not wait till it's just her and I and we can enjoy it and not feel guilty about it? There are some things in life you ought to look forward to. Everybody doing okay? There's places I still have yet to be. I've only been in 44 states. I got six more. And selfishly, I'd like to visit all six of those. Selfishly. Will I make it? Maybe not. It's okay. Still a goal. Hey, when you only got six left, it can't be that bad, right? Alaska and Hawaii is a long drive. All right, especially Hawaii. Gets a little wet down there. My wife doesn't hold her breath that well. So God's order is work, pay your bills. By the way, credit debt is not paying a bill. That's debt. Pay your utilities. Have things in order. Then your wants. We went to Cabela's yesterday. I needed a new pair of hunting boots. I've been saving and working and saving and working. I found a $159 pair of boots on sale for $129. Don't have a conniption yet. But somebody had given me a $50 Cabela's card. I said, now we're down in range. But I've also got my Cabela's card that I earn points for. I walked out of there with a $160 pair of boots for $38. Now that's how you shop, amen, fellas? He said, I just paid the whole thing. Yeah, you're an idiot. I saved almost $130. I was happy. My wife was happy. Now, wait a minute. I am not to want my kids to be like somebody else's kids. I'm not to want my wife to be like somebody else's wife. I'm not to want my church to be like somebody else's church. How about we get away from those things? In other words, I'm not to want somebody else's position. You think it's so easy? Come on. It's not as easy as it looks. So, number one, we're not to walk with those that walk disorderly. Number two, live by your work. Don't live off the work of others. Number three, and I must hurry, don't be a busybody. That is a funny word to me. I don't know why, but I looked it up. It's only used three times in the Bible, okay? The word literally means one who meddles or inserts self into someone else's affairs. One who is involved in magic or the curious arts. How many of you know what a fortune teller is? That's exactly what a busybody is. How many of you know what a psychic? Oh, I can read the future for you. Those are the curious arts. Say, what do? They probe and meddle into you with questions and they tell you what you want to hear. God says that we should not be a busybody. 1 Timothy, it's just a couple pages over. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse number 13. 1 Timothy 5, 13. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to. Ought not. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in any of men's matters. Ooh. God puts busybodies in the same list with murderers. Say, what's a busybody? The United States Press. Yeah, you are out of order when you insert yourself into somebody else's life without being asked, no matter what your sincerity level is. Everybody look at me. I love you. Many of you are very sincere people, and I'm glad of that. But your sincerity does not excuse inserting yourself into somebody else's business. You can be sincerely wrong. And when you meddle into somebody else's business, you are considered scripturally as a busybody. That's what God said. Let me show you what I mean. Someone has a major medical issue, and you probe, and you ask questions, and you get all the details. You want to know every medication, and then you're going to tell them why they shouldn't do that, and they need to eat this herb, and they need to drink this swamp water, and they got to eat this pill, and they got to do this, and you don't need chemicals. Or they say, you've got to do this. Can I tell you something? Quit being a busybody. I'm not against you taking pills and drinking swamp water and eating, you know, dead crickets and worms or whatever you want to eat. I don't care if you choose natural or chemical. All of it came out of the same ground. Every bit of it. Well, you need vinegar. Okay, vinegar does not occur naturally. Vinegar is pre-wine. That's not natural. You don't go to the tree and get vinegar. Okay? In other words, you try to influence somebody else's choices because it's not your choice. And you know better because you've been through it. Be careful inserting yourself. I don't call pastors, sit in my office and call pastors and say, hey, what you got going on? Let me tell you how to do that. Number one, if I had that kind of time, it's time to go out and go soul winning. Now they call and they say, preacher, what about? And I'll give them their answer. They may do it, they may not do it, and I never check up whether they did or didn't. They called, asked for my advice, I gave it, I went about my work. I don't call around asking if somebody needs my advice. Say why? I've got more important things to do. Make sure people who push, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3, who push tradition over what God says are busybodies. There's a lot of religion out there that's busybody religion. They have their traditions versus what God says. Somebody tells you to go to the church and light candles, it's a tradition and they're busybodies. Somebody tells you to grab these beads and buy these beads and pray to Mary, they're busybodies. I didn't say it, God did. By the way, just because somebody did something differently than the way you did it doesn't mean it's wrong. Well, it's tradition. Let me just go ahead and burst the whole bubble all at one time. You ready? That means this, weddings. Did you know that there are things that aren't wrong to do, even though it's not traditional? You know, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible which side of the auditorium somebody has to sit. Well, that's the bride side or that's the groom side. Okay, traditions of men. How about they becoming one? What does it matter? Everybody doing all right? It doesn't say what colors you have to decorate with. I'm really going to step on some toes. Did you know it doesn't even say that a lady has to wear a white dress? Well, it does to you, but it doesn't matter to God. Everybody doing okay? Matter of fact, it doesn't even say you have to wear shoes. My daughter walked right down that aisle with no shoes on with a wedding dress. I married her in her bare feet. You say, well, that's not real traditional. Okay, it wasn't real traditional, but it was real Mindy. I've seen her without her shoes more than I have with her shoes, trust me. Can I tell you something? You say, well, I think that's just deplorable. Okay, think that. But it's just a tradition. Why do we get so wound up about traditions? How about you get that wound up about somebody dying and going to hell because you didn't go out and tell them?
Amen.
Boy, I'm having fun right now. Amen, preacher. That's why churches that push tradition over obedience to the Bible scare me. The Catholic Church. I was with some preachers last week at the ordination. One of the preachers was telling me some fellows were giving him grief because in the state where he was at having a service on Sunday nights, they had church at 5:30 on Sunday afternoon. And some of the guys, well, you're not a real fundamentalist. You got to have church at 7 o'clock. I said, book, chapter, and verse on that one, dude. Even the times of our services aren't written in the Bible. Just so you know. I broke tradition. Brother Hiles' Sunday night church was at 7 o'clock. We have Sunday night church at 6 o'clock. I heard him in a staff meeting one day say, I'd love to change at 6 o'clock. It'd be better for our church family, especially those that have little kids. But I've been at it so long, it'd cause a war if I changed it. He said, if I was starting a new church, I'd start it at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night church started at 7:35. He didn't get done till 9 o'clock or 9:05, and once a month we had a business meeting after that. But do you know why it started that way? Because when Brother Hiles was there in the early days, the steel mills were working crazy hours and didn't get off till 7 o'clock at night. And the bulk of his crowd didn't even get off of work till 7 o'clock, and they would rush to the church after church and could get there by 7:30. But he just never changed it because it became... Everybody knew what time it was. But it's not in the Bible saying you have to start at 7:35. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Busybodies always see themselves as the exception to the rule. If you always think you're the exception to the rule, you're not. I hate to disappoint you. People who are busybodies hate this word, principles. Principles. they want to be the rule. They don't want to be being ruled. They think their sincerity is stronger than principle. Well, I really care. Sound like a Democrat. You can really care and murder babies and you're okay. Or you can be like this stupid mayor in D.C. who throws people in jail because with chalk at a protest in front of an abortion clinic, somebody wrote unborn black lives matter and threw people in jail over it. But you can go burn buildings down, kill police officers, and destroy property, and that's okay. Yeah, Mayor Dumbhead down in D.C. Being a busybody puts every area of life out of order because you have to be first in order. And I've got to hurry. I'll hit number 4 very quickly. Lastly, don't be weary in well-doing. Look at verse number 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now listen to me. This does not say what you think it says. It does not say, don't be weary of doing good things. God doesn't say, well, that's church, it's something good, and I'm just tired of that, but I shouldn't get tired doing church work. Did you ever get tired doing church work? If you didn't, you're in trouble. I get tired every day. It doesn't say that you should never get tired doing something that's good. I love to eat, but you can get tired of eating. That takes a lot sometimes, but you can get tired of it. It doesn't say get tired of doing it doesn't say get tired of doing things well. It means this: don't wait until you have something perfected before you do it. Some people are afraid that if they can't perfect it, they're just not going to try. Don't be weary of well-doing, of doing things well. I think we ought to do it well. I think we ought to give it our best, but I don't ask anybody to be perfect. There are people in this room who should join the choir, even though you may not ever sing a solo. I'm not going to sing one.
Amen.
Shut up. And you're behind me. Amen. God answers prayer. Amen. If I do sing one, it's going to be on a hill far away. Amen. Far, far away. Now, wait a minute. That means this. Waiting until you have perfected something before you do it. Can I tell you something? I'd rather y'all get up here and give it your best shot, practice, do your best, and make some mistakes than to not do it.
Amen.
By the way, it's not about you anyway, is it?
Absolutely.
You see, not going soul winning because you don't feel comfortable yet. Folks, I've been soul winning for 40 years. I've never felt comfortable going soul winning.
Nope.
I hate to disappoint you. Your preacher's not real spiritual. I'll give you that because, man, I hope they're not home. That is my feeling every time I go soul winning. But something happens when you hear the creak on the floor and the ch-ch-ch-ch of the door. Something starts working up inside of me, and I got that track in my hand, and I say, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. Y'all get to go to church anywhere regular? And all of a sudden, something kicks in gear, and it's overdrive, and my mouth just starts going, and I'm fine. But those few seconds of to where you hear something is, boy, I hope they're not home. I hope my partner gets the next door. You say, preacher, you don't. Yeah, I do. I still feel that way after over 40 years of doing it. You say, why? If you've seen what's happened on the other side of that door as many times as I have, we shouldn't be ill-prepared. Our music, our special music around here, things have to be practiced a certain number of times. Has to be tested with the microphones every time, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't expect anybody to be perfect. Say why? No nail prints, neither do you. If you're waiting to do something perfectly, you'll never do it. Now, that doesn't mean you get up and say, I ain't practiced this. Watch this, y'all. Be careful. I don't believe in that. Now, we're sinful. We're flawed. But we need to get over being perfect at everything we do. I'm for people knowing how to walk up to the platform appropriately. And we practice weddings and stuff. But if somebody falls, just go with the flow. Man, I've seen so many things happen. I think one of the funniest things I ever saw happen. And this is an honest God truth. My wife was there. She can tell you that this happened. Mrs. Lopez were there. Brother John Colston would do a lot of the baptizing for Brother Hiles. He was baptizing one day. He baptized this lady. Baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, she came up, but her hair didn't. And it was going, bleep, 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 bleep. She didn't know it. It was behind her going, bloop, 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 bloop. Brother Colston, big, tall, sober, never said much, but when he did, it was ridiculously funny. He grabbed that thing, picked it up, he said, "Think you need this, ma'am." Slopped it on her head. Up the stairs she went. Now, do you know how hard it was not to laugh really loud? I was dying. Can I tell you something? You just got to roll with it every once in a while. I watched Mrs. Beverly Hiles. She would sit on the first row, center aisle of the choir. She stood up to sing a choir special one day, and she had her heel on the bottom of her skirt. She stood up. Her skirt did not. 7,000 people. She sat down as only she could, got her all hooked back up, and stood back up and kept on singing. You say, no, it happened. Trust me. Guess what? Go with the flow. Can I tell you something? That wasn't what she planned. Guess what? You'd be surprised how many people would have quit the choir over that. Thank God she had enough grace and elegance just to keep on going. Now, she didn't feel like going any farther, trust me. Man, there was people scrambling everywhere. The whole crowd. Poor Brother Isles didn't even know what was going on. You know, he's looking around. It was funny. When you wear out trying to work above your pay grade, it's because you're trying to impress somebody. There are people who will wear themselves out in church trying to be something they are not. You don't have to keep up with anybody around here. Just come on in. It's all right. Don't have a suit coat, fellas? That's all right. Come on in. Don't have a tie? Come on in. Now, I think we ought to wear the best of what we have. You know, kick the manure off the boots at least before you come in, all right? That much will help us, amen? I'm good with that. That means you too, Kirsten. All right? Kick that manure off them boots for them horses. All right? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? They might come in a little bit different. But when you put Jesus inside, it's amazing what happens. Don't have that keeping up with the Joneses mentality in Christianity. You're not me. I'm not you. You ought to be glad. Can I tell you something? Walk in order. As you're a new Christian, grow. Grow. Get a little older as a Christian, grow. Take some more steps. I think we all ought to grow enough to where we can tell somebody else how to get saved. Let's grow. Then let's get them in and we'll grow and bring them along with us. And teach them how to go out and get somebody. That's what the Great Commission's all about, isn't it? So we ought to withdraw from those who do not walk orderly, from those who walk disorderly. Don't be busybodies, etc., etc. Let's pray. I'm over a few minutes. I promise you this could help you in life, help you at your job, help you in school, help you as you grow up as a young person. It'll help you in your home.